everyone, and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and this week we're going to bring you a little bit of an NFL draft preview discussion with Delphi Community High School senior Michael Benner, our resident NFL expert. We're also going to talk a little bit about the major league sports that are going on. We have NHL hockey playoffs, NBA playoffs, and some good major league baseball starting up this spring. But we'll listen first to a little bit from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. And we're back now on Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I'm Brian Tonsoni, and we're going to talk a little bit of NFL draft. It takes place this Thursday, April 25th, starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time with round one coverage on ESPN, ABC, NFL Network. Friday, rounds two and three, that is Friday, April 26th at 7 p.m., also on the same stations, and then Saturday, rounds four through seven, beginning at noon for the 2019 NFL Draft. And joining me now, as he has been on this podcast before, is Michael Benner, a senior here at Delphi Community High School. Big sports fan overall, but really puts his focus into the NFL. Michael, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. We're glad to have you. Michael's a senior, and we are going to miss his contributions to Sports Talk with Tonsoni and Delphi Bracketology. But let's get right to it. Your thoughts on the NFL draft. The number one pick, Kyler Murray to the Arizona Cardinals. I know you think differently than some of the ESPN experts, and we like that independent thinking here at Delphi. A lot of people think Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma, is going to go number one. Your take on who might go number one and why you disagree with some of the experts?
I believe it's going to be Bosa, but a lot of the experts think it's Murray just because Arizona think, well, there's always been a lot of smoke screens, but Arizona taking a quarterback at one when they have Josh Rosen. I don't really see it like they want to do this because last year they traded up to number 10 for Josh Rosen, sacrificing a lot of mid-round picks. And to throw that all away to draft a quarterback at number one overall doesn't seem thing, but I also saw a report that said that the reason there was all this Kyler Murray buzz was because the ownership wanted them to get Kyler Murray to get fan interest for tickets, because Arizona's probably going to be tanking for the next 2 years, probably.
So, and then you have the new coach at Arizona who's a gunslinger and has big offense, and he might think that Murray is better, but you think it's going to go to the Ohio State, right, defensive end. Talk about him a little bit, why you think he's the best out there for the Cardinals.
With Nick Bosa, he's just an all-around force on the field. He has an amazing motor. He just never stops going to go after the quarterback. And pair him with him and Chandler Jones going on the edge, that'll be a good 1-2 punch.
So it'll be interesting to see who's right, Mel Kiper on ESPN or Michael Benner of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I hope you're right. And you've been very, very close in your 2 years that you've done this. Talk about players. Every year we see on social media and we watch as players fall. They are thought to be highly draftable, and then they fall spots, and it becomes a running joke a little bit on Twitter. When's this player? Who do you think that player or two that is highly rated but might fall five or six, seven spots lower than what they're predicted?
I have two. The first one is Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. The reason he's going to fall, I think, because he didn't really light it up at Michigan as a defensive end. He has the athleticism, but he just doesn't have the stats to back it up. And the other one is the defensive tackle out of Houston with Ed Oliver. I think he may fall. Of course, there's some people that think he's top 10, but if he falls, it's mainly going to be because he's undersized at the defensive tackle spot.
And those are guys who get a lot of publicity for their college play that a lot of fans know, and therefore might think that they go a little bit higher. And it'll be interesting to see if those two defensive players fall a little bit lower than what they're going. Another thing that we as fans, we like about the draft is when teams trade. And you see some years there's a lot of trades, and some years there's very few trades. How do you see that working out, and who might be some of the teams that might be looking to trade up or trade down?
I think, well, the teams that want to trade down right now, from reports, are the Jets and the Niners, but the problem is with those teams, they're so high up in the draft that you're going to have to give up a lot to go up to the number two. And there's not really, outside of Bosa and Williams, there's not really teams players were trading up for. But for like teams that I could see trading up, the Bengals, especially with their new quarterback, head coach and Zach Taylor, they don't know if they're going to move on from Andy Dalton. We could see the Bengals trade up, maybe grab Haskins, Murray. With Taylor, he may like Murray, kind of like coming from the McVay offense. And I believe there was one more team. It's like Atlanta could trade up. Who knows?
Do you think there'll be a lot of trades or a few trades this year?
There'll probably be a few, like 2 to 3 maybe.
And what positions, when you look at the draft, what positions do you think have a lot of players? Which positions are strong this year and weak this year, in your opinion?
And the strongest is pretty much the defensive line, defensive tackle, defensive end. These are some of the deepest classes we've seen, like Ed Oliver, Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, these Clemson guys. And this class is just loaded. Like on the defensive end, you have Bosa, Allen, even though he's an outside linebacker, he still clarifies as a defensive end. And you also have Brian Burns. Well, I mean, Ja'Kai Polite, who's not going to go in the first round, he's still a great talent to have.
If you were general manager, would you go on best player available when your pick was there, or to fill a specific need for your team? Or does it depend when you're drafting?
It depends where you're drafting. If you're like drafting where the Colts are, 26, they will probably if they have their ranks of the best players at position. If a guy's at the top, while there's a guy like 3 spots down, they'll probably take the guy at the top, then fill the need.
So you mentioned the Colts. You're a big Colts fan. Who are you hoping that they take as they have a pick late in the first round on Thursday?
Yeah, on Thursday they pick at 26, and I'm just hoping that Christian Wilkins can fall to the Colts at 26, because Wilkins, just great off the field, has no problem doing charity work and everything, great off the field. On the field, he's a good run stuffer, 3 technique, everything's good with him.
So you think he's predicted to go a little bit higher, so you hope he might be one of those other guys that falls a little bit to your Indianapolis Colts. Well, my two teams that I like, I'm a big Bears fan, they don't have a first-round pick. The Browns get Odell Beckham, and they don't have a first-round pick, so the draft is not personal for me, but I still like to see where teams go. What team, in your opinion, do you think really must have a good draft?
The Cardinals or the Raiders, because especially with the Raiders having those 3 first-round picks, they need to hit on all 3 of those picks, because they trade Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, two of their probably best players on the team. Khalil Mack was probably the best, no doubt. But to trade that, and they need to hit on those picks.
And the Oakland Raiders, as we say for the last few years when you walked into my classroom, they've had something interesting going on here in the last few days getting ready for the draft. Can you fill our listeners in on that?
Yeah, they sent home all their scouts because they didn't know who to trust, according to Mike Mayock.
Mm-hmm. So you got a team that you think needs to have a great draft. They have 3 first-round picks. They could use them. They could package them. They just got Antonio Brown. They got Gruden as coach. Their window is starting to open up, but they do have to have a good draft. So talk a little bit personally about your routine, about watching the draft. You said on Monday you can't wait for Thursday. This is your holiday season as an NFL guru. Yeah. You've written many papers and draft mock drafts. So what are you going to do Thursday through Saturday? Share with our listeners.
Well, I'm hoping that – well, the – on Saturday is going to be a little difficult for me because I have a college visit day that day. So hopefully it's all done by 4, because that's when it starts on Saturday. But for Thursday night, I'm going to be having up in my room, TV on, always watching social media just to see what trades happen. It's the best time to be a football fan.
Well, there you have it from Sports Talk with Tonsoni, our special NFL guru. I think he's better than McShay. I think he's better than Mel Kiper, because he's just been an incredible young man, brought a lot of joy to us here at Delphi, to me personally. Michael, I thank you for all the podcasts you did with Steve Painter during the NFL season. We might have you on for a post-draft analysis and see if Murray does fall down, but enjoy your Thursday. And That'll do it for this segment. Stay with us as we will be talking a little bit about the NHL, NBA playoffs, as well as some baseball. Thanks, Michael, and have fun. You are listening to Sports Talk with Tonsoni. This is Brian Tonsoni. We'd like to thank Michael Benner, a senior here at Delphi Community High School. He's been our NFL expert. He's really come a long way as a young man in our Delphi Bracketology Club and covering the NFL. So we're proud of Michael, and thanks for his contributions here with our show. And now we're going to move on to a little bit of the other professional leagues and what's going on. We have the NHL playoffs, if hockey is your thing. The first round is just wrapping up. And a couple things to watch is anytime there's a game seven, I would find the games on television. NBC covers the hockey. But go watch game seven. There's nothing like NHL game seven action with the crowd cheering and waving their flags and screaming and yelling and on the edge of their seats for every goal. And if a game seven ever goes into overtime, those are the games that really, really become exciting to watch. For me, the Chicago Blackhawks are my team. They've been out for a couple of years of the playoffs as they're in a rebuilding mode. Teams to watch: St. Louis Blues in a tight series here in the first round of the NHL playoffs. I like Toronto. I like to see upsets. If my team is not in it, I like to see some teams who have not had success recently move forward. So find a team, find the station on your cable or satellite, and tune in here a little bit to the NHL. The thing that I enjoy most is the handshake line after the series is over. Nothing like a hard-fought, physical hockey seven-game, six-game series, whatever it might end up being. And then the tradition of the teams meeting at center ice and shaking hands. NHL hockey is something that is an acquired taste as a sports fan. And if you like it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, give it a shot. We also have the start of the NBA playoffs, and the Indiana Pacers got swept by the Boston Celtics in four games, setting up a great second-round match between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. That is a series to tune in. TNT, ABC, ESPN covering those games. That series is going to be two of the best teams in the East. The Philadelphia 76ers are about to close out the Brooklyn Nets. That's been a little more competitive series than thought. And so the 76ers, the Celtics, and the Bucks in the East are the teams to really watch going forward. When it gets to the West, there's a lot of good basketball out there. Damian Lillard, Portland Trail Blazers. If you're in the Midwest or the East, you may not stay up late to watch some of their games, but watching that young man in the series against Oklahoma City, he is putting on tremendous shows every night in these games, going up against a good Oklahoma City squad. San Antonio and Denver is a tight series. Both of those teams look to advance here in the next couple of weeks. And you have Golden State, whether you like them or you dislike them, because they have so many stars. They play great basketball, can score in bunches. So the Western Conference is going to be very competitive to watch. And again, playoff sports, whether you are a fan of the sport or not, there's a little extra adrenaline. There's a little extra juice in the stadiums. And it's always good, again, to find teams that haven't been successful. So the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's a team that you might want to root for. The Denver Nuggets on the Western side. I do tend to, for me personally, I'm going to be rooting for the Boston Celtics. Big Brad Stevens fan locally here in Indiana and Butler. And I love Greg Popovich. They've gone through a few rebuilds here, and he still has his team competitive. I don't know that the Spurs will get past this first round, let alone be able to go any further. And I'm going to start leaning towards the Portland Trail Blazers as a team that's not my team to be watching and kind of rooting for in the NBA playoffs. The Chicago Bulls, my team, has been out for a long, long time in a constant rebuild mode. And then the Indiana Pacers, Victor Oladipo getting hurt after 36 games, very commendable job staying relevant and winning games and becoming the fifth seed in the East. Just didn't have enough to get over the hump in the first round against the Boston Celtics. So for me, Spurs and the Trailblazers out West are going to be the teams I really going to want to watch, and the Celtics in the East. Love to see someone knock off Golden State, although I am a big fan of how they play. I know with Draymond Green and some of their antics, that they've kind of lost some of their appeal over, you know, with Durant and so forth. So there's some good basketball being yet to play for us college fans that are searching for something to watch as the great game of college basketball has ended. And Major League Baseball starting off, and I'd like to address real quick the bat flip controversy. As a coach of high school basketball, I don't like a lot of the look at me shenanigans that go on in sports. But as I also analyze winners, I know that sports are played with great passion. And so I am hopefully a lifelong learner and look at positions over time. And I still think there is a correct way to show passion in sports and get the most out of your abilities and not show up opponents or not just showboat. And there's a fine line. And so, you know, if you listen to some of the shows that I'm on and the pop and the collar, I don't necessarily like that when it draws attention to the specific individual. But when a nice play is made, when a big hit, when a home run, when a slam dunk, when a good pass, and showing some emotion and being fired up, I really have come to understand that that's not bad. And so I'm moving away from the act like you've been there before crowd to show appropriate emotion. Just make sure that the pre-planned shenanigans, the pre-planned shows don't go to a level where it is all about the individual accomplishment and not about the team. But the more you look at it, the great players play with great passion. And when they make plays, they really let out that passion. And I believe they do so in appropriate ways. So the bat flip episode with Tim Anderson of the Chicago White Sox, I watched it. I didn't see it live. It was a little bit too much, but again, it wasn't. He did not turn towards the opposing bench. And you know, he threw his bat and turned towards his team. And then hearing him talk, and obviously after some time has passed, he's going to make sure he says the correct things. But he got a good hit on it, turned to his teammates, said something, probably, again, could have been bad, could have been good. And then he quickly started rounding the bases. And I've moved off of the home run, watching home runs and the bat flips. Again, I think there is a fine line between being excessive in the bat flip and the taunting, and then also just being excited and getting your team fired up on a big hit. You know, and then I just think that we need to have common sense when it comes to these things, because pitchers and strikeouts and big plays and walk-off hits, people running on the field showing emotion, well, we need to be consistently, and maybe as sports fans and sports analysts, define appropriate passion versus inappropriate. And the thing about baseball is, I know there's an old book, and the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals are holding on to this old book of baseball, but things change. And I find nothing wrong with an occasional bat flip and then getting going on your home run trot as soon as possible, standing for 8 or 9 seconds and pointing out to the opposition or to the pitcher, specifically taunting, no place in that in sports. But as you're looking for sports opposite or without basketball, college sports, a couple things, college baseball. In the state of Indiana, if you're listening here in the state of Indiana, get out to a college baseball venue. A lot of good baseball. Indiana State's having an outstanding year in the top 50 in RPI. Evansville's in the top 50 in RPI if you're down south. Ball State's having a winning record and has a couple of players that are being scouted heavily by major league scouts. You have Indiana and Purdue in the Big Ten, which is good baseball. Indiana is ranked in the top 25 in three different polls. Purdue is struggling below 500, but that venue is absolutely fabulous. You go on a nice evening, Friday evening, to watch some good Big Ten baseball. There's nothing better than the IU Bart Kaufman Field and Purdue Stadium. So get out and watch some college baseball and also the Major League Baseball. There's a lot of good young talent in the game today. I'm a big fan now of the San Diego Padres. We don't see them much here in the Midwest, but Machado moving out there, and I know he comes with some baggage, but Fernando Tatis Jr. is a good star. Find a team, find some players that are up and coming. The Atlanta Braves with a second baseman named Albies. They got some young players. They got a young outfielder. Find some young players to follow. Find some teams to follow besides your own. I'm obviously a Chicago fan. The Cubs have had a good run here lately, kind of 500 at the moment of this podcast. But there's good sports on. Until we can get through to back to college football and college basketball. But, again, I will go back to college baseball. There's nothing better. You get to your conference tournaments. You get to the regionals and the sub-regionals of college baseball. Start following that. Go to d1baseball.com. They produce a lot of good content. There's all kinds of good content about college baseball. You have ESPN Plus and some other services. Big Ten Network covers baseball where you can subscribe for small dollar amounts and really see some good college sports. So while we always think of basketball and football, baseball is here, and it's spring and it's warm weather. Go see some college baseball. Tune into some Major League Baseball. And I'm looking forward to bringing you some alternate programming other than basketball. Brian Morrow, a good friend of mine, we're going to be doing some baseball podcasts with some Major League Baseball coming up. I'm looking to do a coaching series ranking the coaches in the major basketball conferences. When we look at the Big Ten, you have Izzo and Beilein at the top, and who fills in the middle, who's coming. So as the season comes, we'll have more college football, we'll have some more college basketball, but right now we're going to be talking mostly baseball and the playoffs. We have the NFL draft coming up this week. We have the NBA draft coming up as well. Lots of sports to talk. We'll try to hit you really quick and brief with about a half an hour show just to give you a different perspective than the national guys. You can follow me at Sony42, at SportsTons, at Delphi Brack, at Delphi Brackets, three websites that we cover sports here. We are reconvening our website for DelphiBracketology.com. Take a look at that. But let us know what you'd like to hear about. We'll give you a take. You don't have to agree with it. But the thing is, sports is a 365-day-a-year awesome event. And find your sport, find your teams, and don't be afraid to branch out. We love it. We love to hear from you. So thanks for listening. For Sports Talk with Tonsoni, this is Brian Tonsoni saying happy sports watching.